The Upperman Bees held Sparta scoreless until the fourth quarter, turning three turnovers into 17 points and jumped out to a very early lead. The big boys up front controlled the line of scrimmage for Upperman and allowed Ethan Pauk to carry the ball 17 times for 134 yards and two touchdowns. Bronson Turnbow returns to action for Upperman, coming off of a back injury, to support the Upperman defensive secondary, as well as grabbing four catches for 40 yards.
We came in with a great game plan, and we knew it was their homecoming, so we knew they'd be trying to be playing hard. So we just had to come out and set the tone early on in the game, which we've like talked about all week at practice. So once we did that, we felt pretty comfortable, and just the rest was history.
And I think a story of this game will be the defense and how stingy it was. Tripp Pinion didn't have any big plays. You guys held them scoreless till the last drive. Just on defense, what was working for you guys?
Tripp Pinion's a great athlete. Everybody knows it. And he's just – you have to contain him and just don't let him make big plays and just contain him in the pocket, really. And that's hard to do. It's easier said than done. But we did that really well tonight, and that's how we won the game.
And I know that you mentioned not getting ahead of yourselves, and it's only halfway through the regular season, but tell me, just how satisfying is it to get this win tonight?
It's really nice to get this one tonight. Just halfway through the season, you're still undefeated, and basically you set yourself off like in a good place for like playoffs and everything like that.
Branson Turnbow returning back to the Bees, supporting that defensive effort, holding Tripp Pinion to 14 carries for only 89 yards in the contest. Meanwhile, over in Gordonsville, DeKalb County Tigers visiting the Gordonsville Tigers, and it being one of Steve Trapp's best coaching efforts in program history, a battle of two undefeated teams and a game with quite a bit of hype in history. At a hostile environment in Gordonsville, Jordan Parker had another great game and truly solidified himself as one of the elite players in the Upper Cumberland. DeKalb County scoring all 35 points in the second and third quarter, overcoming some slow starts at the beginning of the game. DeKalb County wins over Gordonsville 35-21. I'm Amos Rogan, and this is the High School Playbook. The Upperman Bees currently rank number one in 4A high school football in the state of Tennessee, going 5-0, and head coach Adam Kane knows that the Bees have a target on their back.
It feels like most of our games have a lot of hype around them, so we're getting used to that. I did think it was important to come out and get a quick start. I think they may have maybe underestimated, you know, our ability to throw the ball and our weapons on the outside. It was good to get everybody going. I got a lot of mouths to feed on that offense. You know, it's been an emotional week for me. My son, Walter, was a two-way starter for us, and he went down with a knee injury, season-ending knee injury last week. And so it's been we've had some highs and lows. The team kind of rallied behind him or around him and thought we played great tonight. I hope we can keep it going.
And then on defense, a lot of turnovers, forcing turnover on downs. You had a big interception that got called back, fumbles. What was your defense doing right, just flying around the ball?
You know, we're not great on defense right now. We're getting better every week. I think the underestimated thing, maybe the underreported thing about we have really good team speed, in my opinion. And when you face an offense like them with the quarterback they have, if you're able to run him down or at least kind of stay with him a little bit, it helps. I was pleased the way we kind of bottled him up all night tonight. You know, we'll probably see these guys again, and you know, he's got the ability to you know, go crazy at any time on the field. So, you know, it was a good win tonight. We'll enjoy it tonight, and then, you know, it's high school football. You got to get back on the horse next week.
And then I'll ask you about number 11. Had one of the more impressive performances on the field. Seemed like he was just crashing down from the safety position. Tell me what role he played in tonight in stopping Tripp.
You know, he kind of moved to a different spot on the field. You know, when Walt went down, we kind of moved some people around. We got a Branson Turnbow back, and it we moved Gunner, number 11, to kind of our weak side safety. He's a very instinctive guy. He's a guy you can, you know, you can tell him one time and he can usually do it. He's got good speed and good quickness, and he kind of knows how to play the leverage game, and that helps him. If you don't leverage Trip, then he's going to kill you. I think probably after we watch film, what Gunner did well was played to his leverage, and he's got good quickness, and he's a pretty good tackler. So I'm not surprised he played well tonight.
You guys are 5-0 halfway through the regular season. Just how much juice does this team have right now, and how much confidence do you have rolling into the last half of the season?
We're gaining confidence. We're gaining confidence every week. This team has finally learned how to practice. You know, if you're not careful, these kids can turn practice into survival rather than development. When you play football, you only get to play once a week because it's a physical sport. So your improvement, if you wait till Friday night, it's only going to be once a week. But if you put some effort and some focus into practice, you can make gains and make improvements. We're learning what these kids can do, and we're doing a good job of putting them in the right spots, especially on the defensive side. And then we've got a lot of guys that can make plays on offense. So I'm pleased. We're nowhere near where we want to be right now, and we got to improve every week.
We're here with the head coach of the DeKalb County Tigers, head coach Steve Trapp, here on the High School Playbook. Coach, thanks so much for joining us this morning, and congratulations on the win.
I appreciate you guys having me on, and thank you for the congratulations.
DeKalb County wins over Gordonsville 35-21 in the Week 5 matchup. And Coach, obviously, hostile environment. Gordonsville is always a tough place to play. How did you feel going into the game, looking at from the statistical standpoint, these two teams from an offensive perspective is pretty closely matched?
Yeah, no, a lot of respect for Gordonsville and Coach Jackson and how they operate over there. I think there's a lot of similarities in our programs as far as, you know, the standards, you know, that we have and the expectations we have. We understood, you know, what kind of environment it was going to be, you know, just a lot of tradition in that program and, you know, two undefeated teams coming in and with a lot of the outsiders saying that, you know, we've really not played anybody, and that, you know, probably is partly true. So I think both teams had an opportunity to make a statement, and you know, at the end of the night, I think we both did.
You know, your defense held up pretty well, you know, only allowing a touchdown in the first three quarters. And shutting Gordonsville out in the fourth quarter, how did you see your defense play, especially holding up against the run?
I thought they did a great job. Thank Coach Shaw again and the defensive staff, which is really all of us. But Coach Shaw, you know, he orchestrates the defensive side, just, you know, coming in and out of different defensive looks and structures and, you know, timely blitzing and then holding off at certain times. But I really think the guys come up with some key plays. Of course, there's always areas we wanted to look at and get better. So, but at the end of the night, you know, as long as we've got one more point than the other team, I guess you can say we were successful.
And looking at that defensive effort, Gordonsville typically likes to get out to an early start. Most of their points, at least through this season, have been scored in the first two quarters or in the first half of the ball games, yeah. Not so much in the second half. How much emphasis were you really pushing on your linebackers, especially to fill in those gaps on those run lanes?
Well, I mean, they got off to a quick start. You know, they scored on the first drive, which, you know, we aided them probably with a penalty right down there in the red zone that kept their drive alive. So, you know, that's one thing we're always looking at. But, again, some of those statistics you just mentioned, in the same case with us, no, it could be about some of the opponents that they face, you know, getting a big lead early and then, you know, just getting the clock and getting the game, you know, done with. But we knew it was going to be a quarter battle, you know, all the way around, you know, special teams-wise. I think we lacked there a little bit, giving up a score and missing a field goal. But, you know, again, like I said, at the end of the night, just proud of how our guys stepped up and played.
Jordan Parker, another great game. I think each and every week he is positioning himself as one of the more elite players that are in the Upper Cumberland. Just how are you seeing him progress in this season?
Well, again, coming into the game like last week versus Watertown, we rushed for, 390 yards. He had 254 of those himself, and then Cecil Ketchum, our running back, had the rest. And coming into this game, though, I just felt like maybe we needed to throw it a little bit more. Gornsville does a really good job up front, really creative with how they move their D-line and their blitz structure. But also with that, sometimes can leave some opportunities on the back end. So, again, there was a lot of times where we had to check to some different stuff. We went through that through the week. He was on point with it. Almost everything that we talked about through the week, we needed to check to come up big for us. And he made some big plays. So he threw for four touchdowns last night and then also rushed for one. So just happy the way that he's orchestrating our offense and leading our team and all the success that he's having. But, again, if you spoke with him, he'd be the first to tell you that if it wasn't for those guys around him, he couldn't be doing what he's doing.
And speaking of that, Coach, halfway through the season, how is your team health-wise and conditioning? Typically, there's some bumps and bruises, but how are you faring thus far?
Well, we had, Andrew Dawkins last night was, he's a four-year senior, four starts on offense, defense. He held him out last night, just a little tender on an ankle, high ankle sprain. You know how those can do. So, but he should be back ready to go for this next week. Cole McMillan, one of our offensive linemen, sustained a shoulder injury last night, so still just waiting word on what the full extent of that may be. But other than that, knock on wood, we're out there battling.
So you got Stone Memorial coming up next week. Stone is a team that likes to put the ball in the air. They're not one-dimensional by any means. How are you going to prepare your team to kind of adapt to that style of offense?
We faced Watertown last week. There's, three out of four plays are usually passes, so we had to prepare a lot for that. Gornsville has the ability to do that as well. Stone Memorial and us is over the last few years, which we played against Coach Samber a lot, but a lot of the things that we both do within our programs offensively mirror each other. So, hopefully that'll pay beneficial for our scout team to be out there and give us some good looks. But and a lot like us, I think a lot of people say that we like throwing the football, but when you can run the football, it really helps, and that's something that they've done well also. So, again, we'll get into the film, we'll break it down, and we'll prepare our guys for everything.
And lastly, Coach, as we wrap this one up, just obviously the DeKalb County faithful, it's such a strong community and community support going into this season, probably with a little bit of high expectations, and understandably so because of the talent that you have on your team. How has it been the community support and just being able to play in such a great atmosphere in Smithville?
This community, it's everything. And, we tell our team all the time that we have a responsibility and an obligation. But when we step out on the football field to impact every eye and every heart that's there, and first and foremost, all the people that's coming and spending their money and sacrificing time to come out, we want them to go home and have better weekends by how we performed, we do want to win, a lot, but we don't talk about winning and losing first. We talk about impacting people with the opportunities that we got. So, and we also talk about every time somebody comes in here from DeKalb County, that we want them to look at what we have and how we do it and just take ownership with it. Because without them, we couldn't be doing or have the things that we have ultimately. So we are so grateful and honored to have the community that we have and the support that we have. And, like I said, we wear it as a badge of honor to come out here and just, represent them and play our hardest.
DeKalb County Tigers head coach Steve Trapp. Coach, thanks so much for joining us here on the High School Playbook.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
DeKalb County takes on Stone Memorial next Friday. We're here with the head coach of the Stone Memorial Panthers, head coach Derek Samber. The Panthers win at Meigs County 35-16 last night. So, Coach, congratulations on the win. Difficult situation to go into in the environment of Meigs County. How did you all take it?
Yeah, so much respect for Meigs County and Decatur, Tennessee. It's a football community. Their stadium makes for a great atmosphere. Their fans are certainly passionate. You know, for our kids, I was just really proud of them going on the road. That's a storied program, a team that was undefeated this year, 12-1 last year's a quarterfinal team. Really challenged them to step up and practice all week. And we practiced differently, and I think that translated to this Friday night.
Offensive line play, so important, and especially for your quarterback, Noah Potter, just to have some time to go through his progressions. Going into an environment like Meigs County, as you said, tough environment and a storied program at that, how did you prepare your offensive line just to protect your quarterback and give him a chance to do what he needs to do?
O-line did a phenomenal job last night. No sacks given up. I'm in the mode of simplifying for our offensive line and in general to allow our kids to just go play and execute. But, yeah, we didn't give up any sacks and had nearly 500 yards rushing last night. So definitely hung our head on the offensive line.
And getting back to 500 and looking forward into the second half of the season, kind of give us a gauge or maybe rate your season thus far at this point, and what are you looking forward to moving forward?
Yeah, you know, in terms of gauging or scoring or rating or whatever our season, you know, we're at the midway point, and those are things coaches kind of look at. You know, we're halfway home in the regular season, and, you know, the score I'd give our kids is that they have gotten better each and every week, have had some tough games in the early part of our schedule, certainly have a bunch of tough ones on the back end, but from week one to week five, our kids have continually taken steps forward and upward, and so that would be kind of how I rate or gauge how our season's been so far.
And looking at a lot of different players, Noah Potter, Maddox Akindo, a lot of leaders on your team, and those who kind of embrace your culture of style of play for Stone Memorial, which is pretty balanced. You like to run the ball. Obviously, you had over 500 yards of rushing last night, but you don't care to put the ball up in the air, and we've talked about that before. How do you see your leaders stepping up to make sure that philosophy of Stone Memorial football is moving forward as players know and get to understand your program even more?
Yeah, you know, they're certainly leaders, but we gave our team as a whole a purpose and identity this week that they all bought into. And, you know, all those kids that you mentioned, we are certainly willing to throw the ball and run the ball. But that offensive line as well, they really set the tone. Cameron Melton on offensive line is a senior for us. Cody Parker's an offensive lineman that's a senior for us. Those two kids in particular, they don't necessarily get their name called for 100 yards rushing or a receiving touchdown or anything else. But in terms of leadership and buy-in and spreading the culture that we want to have, those two names come to mind.
Doesn't get any tougher next Friday. You've got DeKalb County and a region game at that. It's always difficult to play DeKalb County, whether you have to go to them or they come to you. What are you looking forward to that game, and how are you preparing for it?
Yeah, it's always a big game atmosphere at DeKalb County High School. Very, very tough place to play. All the respect in the world for Coach Trapp and the way he conducts himself and his program and, you know, what he's built there in DeKalb County football over the last nearly two decades. So we've got our hands full. Our kids are certainly going to have to come to play and limit mistakes and make some big plays along the way, and hopefully we've got a shot in the end.
Defense is going to be, and especially your defensive line, going against such a good quarterback in Jordan Parker of DeKalb County. How are you going to kind of deal with that to try to keep him contained?
You know, he is a tremendous quarterback. Fortunately, we've had some practice with some really good quarterbacks early in the year with Blake Owen and Tripp Pinion. So some of that game plan stuff will carry over, and hopefully, you know, as I've mentioned, get better every week. Hopefully we execute it at a higher clip against DeKalb's kid.
That's head coach of the Stone Memorial Panthers, head coach Derek Samber. The Panthers face off against the DeKalb County Tigers Friday, kickoff at 7 p.m. We're here with the head coach of the Livingston Academy Wildcats, head coach Mattenhauser, winning at homecoming against Pickett County 40-0 last night. Coach, I'm going to be honest with you. The first quarter and looking at the final score, I probably wouldn't put the two together. You kind of had a little bit of a slow start getting out of the gate.
We did, but there's a couple reasons for that that we won't get into, some team stuff that we were working on. But, you know, I was proud of how we responded to adversity. We hadn't really done that a whole lot this year. But we came out, we played pretty well, I guess, the second and third quarter. We were pretty clean. I think the only time we only didn't score three drives the entire game, and one was the second drive of the game, and that was probably the most disappointing drive. We just didn't execute at all. Came out, lost a couple yards, and that was, you know, I'm guessing a lot of what you're referring to. We just didn't look like we knew what was happening. And a lot of that was due to having Isaiah Honeycutt started at quarterback for the first time as a sophomore. He did a really good job, but he, you know, it's the first time under the lights for him. And so we were just a little bit out of sync there early, but I was proud of the way, like I said, that we fought back and responded and got back on track pretty quick.
And I would agree, and that's what I was going to ask you about. Obviously, Adrian Jenkins is on the sidelines currently right now with an injury. Going into it, from a quarterback by committee, Isaiah Honeycutt comes out and gets the start for the Wildcats. And, you know, you can tell that Isaiah's got a pretty good arm about him. He's got a good frame on him. And he's going to end up being a good quarterback for you in the long run.
You know, he's a great kid. He works incredibly hard. He does all the little things you ask him in the weight room, off the field, on the field. Just a tremendous competitor. You know, he came out early, and it wasn't on him a whole lot the first drive. We didn't execute in a lot of different areas, but, you know, he did well offensively and defensively. We were able to bring in Caden Weissel there somewhere in the middle of the second quarter on the third series, and our offense kind of got clicking a little bit there. I think the second drive we didn't score on, we ended up on the three-yard line as time expired. So, you know, I thought he did a good job of executing, and then you know, give our young kids a lot of opportunities to play there late in the game. And that's, you know, what it's about, is trying to get those guys opportunities to play, get them developed so that they're ready to play when their time comes.
Caden Weissel last night, 5 touchdowns, 3 on the ground, and threw for 2 more, and got Isaiah Honeycutt. He switched from quarterback to receiver and finds the end zone, as well as Preston Greenwood. Tell us how important, at least at this point now, because of some injuries that you all have sustained. Caden Weissel has always been an important piece of your team, but now it's even gotten more important for him to have a good night every single game.
He is a huge piece to the puzzle. He can do so many different things, from, you know, offensively, from playing quarterback to receiver to running back to defensively, playing a variety of positions. He plays a lot of special teams. He's a huge part to what we do, along with a lot of other guys. You know, Jake Hughes and Drew Goolsby got a lot of different touches. Preston did a great job of stepping up. Jesse Gentry made a good play right before half. Isaiah, Rocco had a couple opportunities there, made a 2-point conversion. Our offensive line stepped up and did a really good job. So offensively, you know, we had a lot of different guys involved, which is what we're going to need to do moving forward, find ways, creative ways to get a lot of different guys touches to give ourselves an opportunity. And defensively, I mean, really outside of one series, I thought we played really well. I thought we were just, you know, playing that homecoming week vibe, that second series of the game where we were just – kind of going through the motions, and once we settled in, you know, I thought they played well too, but it's going to be a different task next week versus York for sure.
And talking about that defensive line, Coach, Kanan Williamson is such an anchor, and I thought that last night especially, running up the middle was just – it wasn't happening against L.A. And particularly because of Kanan Williamson, Frankie Guerrero especially as well, stepping up there and getting a sack and a tackle for loss as well. Defensive line play, as you said, moving forward, and especially next week going up against York, these guys have really stepped up and they showed well last night.
You know, we've had to move so many different guys to different positions, and it's really hard for those guys to get comfortable because we have a lot of capable guys, but we're still trying to figure out what's the best fit, what's the best 11. And so, you know, Kanan did a really good job. Jordan Geist did a good job. Both of those guys had to settle in a little bit. They had some penalties early, but once they settled in, they played well. Frankie Guerrero played fairly well last night. He's still a young kid who's really learning how to play the position, but he's got a ton of potential. Grayson Mancy did a good job when he came in from and replaced some of those guys and brought a lot of energy to it. And then, you know, Drew Goolsby, he had to play some defensive end, some linebacker. He moved around and did a good job. Isaiah was one of those guys. You know, Logan Gentry is another guy who had his first start last night as a freshman at middle linebacker. He did a really good job of running to the ball. It's another reason why they had some difficulties running up the middle. And Deacon Allred, who's an anchor there in the middle, those guys all collectively did a good job of stopping the run. And like I said, next week will be a different animal. York likes to run downhill. They like to get after you. So we're going to have to play very physical and fly around for sure.
Head coach of the Livingston Academy Wildcats, Matt Enhauser, they face York next week at York in Jamestown. Kickoff at 7, pregame at 6 on 101.9 AM 920 WLIV. Coach, thanks so much for joining us.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much, Amos.
Scores from last night around the Upper Cumberland for Week 5. Cookeville loses to Mount Juliet 38-21. Upperman over White County 49-7. Jackson County wins at Red Boiling Springs 35-0. Stone Memorial 35, Meigs County 16. Westmoreland over Monterey 28-7. York with a big win over Tellico Plains 34-0. Livingston wins at homecoming over Pickett County 40-0. Gallatin with a large win over Warren County 65-0. DeKalb County wins over Gordonsville 35-21. Smith County over Trousdale County 44-7. Clay County drops their contest against Portland 24-21. And Macon over Cumberland County 35-7.
On this week's Saturday Morning Player Profile, we talk to the Cookeville Cavaliers tailback and defensive back, Thomas Johnson. Let's hear from him on his introduction to the game of football.
This is actually kind of funny because when my stepdad was first introducing us to, like, extra activities, he had, like, first, like, the Boy Scouts. He had mentioned that first. And me and my other twin brother, well, not my twin, but I got twin brothers, but we was like, oh, my God, we didn't do that because we saw them shooting, like, guns, like, the range and all that good stuff. So we thought it would be fun, but then we did it, and it wasn't nothing like they advertised. So then we started playing football. Like, I already kind of wanted to do that, and then I found out I was kind of good at it. So, like, yeah, that's what made me want to play. And then my big brother, like, the oldest one, he played football in high school, and that's what really, really drove me to want to play running back because he's a running back. He's real good at it, and I was like, okay. I kind of want to do that. So,
and that was going to be my next question, Thomas. How has your family helped you in being the best football player that you can be?
They helped me a lot, man. That's my biggest motivation. Like, that's like every time I think about quitting and stuff like that, I think about them, and it's over with. And then they support me. They watch my games, like, when they can't be here. So yeah, shout out to them and the Bakers. I love them too. They help me and they support me and everything. So, yeah.
And I know that you haven't always been with this program. You grew up in Georgia and you moved here in your junior year. How is this program and these coaches and players, how have they welcomed you into the program when you first got here?
When I first got here, I didn't really talk, but, like, they did a good job because, like, everybody, like, kind of, like, made conversation with me, made me feel welcome here. And I appreciate that because I'm not really, like, that social of a person at first until I get to really know you. So, yeah, I like coming here.
And then now looking at you in your senior year, you've been around them. What do these coaches and teammates mean to you now that you've gotten to know them and you've opened up with them? What do they mean to you?
I'm kind of glad that I've opened up to them. Like, because last year I didn't really know, like, my team as well. But now that I feel like that I've, like, made connections with everybody and now that I know everybody, like, way better, that I feel like it's, like, way better on the field. Like, we played it, like, we're more in sync on the field and everything. And my coaches, I feel like we got great coaches.
In this locker room, you guys are very tight-knit and play together, like you just said. What's just the environment like after a win in the locker room?
Oh, it's funny. Like, it's real funny because we'd be in the locker room playing music and just getting hyped. Like, everybody's hyped. It's amazing. But, like, me, I obviously, like, I like different music than they do. So, I low-key be in my locker kind of, like, mad because the music they playing, like, I'm happy we won, but the music they playing kind of irritated me. But everybody else enjoying it. So, like, I'm cool with it. So, yeah.
And when this all ends and you're going to end your time here at Cookeville High, what will you most remember about being on this Cavs team?
I don't know. I feel like I'm going to miss everything. Like, yeah, like, being in the locker room with them, it's, like, always fun. We always, I mean, talking with them, like, I don't know. It's a lot. I can't really even think about a certain thing that I'm going to remember.
We're here with the head coach of the Cookeville Cavaliers, Taylor Hennigan. Cookeville gets their first loss of the season, losing to Mount Juliet 38-21 last night. Coach, honestly, from looking at some of the stats, it's a little surprising that the Cavs lost against Mount Juliet, but it looks like it was mainly in the turnovers and the penalty sections that was the difference in the ball game.
Yeah, really, honestly, felt like we did not play very well at all. There were a few bright spots individually, and you know, we did some good things, but you do some of the things that we did. You mentioned the turnovers, really just a lack of executing some simple things on both sides of the ball. You do that against a very good team, and it's gonna show up. So disappointed, to be honest, in the way that we played, but you know, there's a lot of positives overall, but just overall didn't do a good enough job.
Over 300 yards in rushing, or I'm sorry, 355 yards of offense and 19 first downs in the game. Talk to us about how your offense, even though I know you're not completely satisfied with it, but obviously there was some bright spots in there. Thomas Johnson and Blake Owen both appeared to be continuing what they typically do each and every single week.
Well, Blake, you know, Blake had a couple good runs. You know, they have a very good defensive front. You know, Blake had a couple physical runs, as he always does, but certainly not the rhythm, I guess, that we had offensively that we've had the first four games. Thomas didn't practice all week and I think played only a couple of plays. He's been battling an injury. So, you know, that affects us a little bit, but I think more so than that, just didn't execute consistently, really blocking the perimeter. I thought we were not really where we needed to be. So, you know, some things that we did well, like I said, some things that some bright spots. Ethan Davidson, a sophomore quarterback, came in, I thought played really well. Caden Sisko, who was out all last year as a receiver, with an injury, has had a really good season and had a really good night last night. Jack Roberts had a good night. So a lot of positives, a little banged up. We battled some injuries and some sickness with a couple starters. But like I said, just overall, just didn't consistently execute some things. And credit to Mount Juliet and Coach Perry. I mean, obviously they had something to do with that as well.
Averaging 3.4 yards per rush last night, offensive line play is so pivotal in high school football, but especially against a team like Mount Juliet, who likes to kind of grind things out and keep the ball on the ground. In preparation for this game, how was you really looking at your offensive line to see what you could do against the Golden Bears?
Yeah, obviously they've been a big strength of ours this year, our offensive line, our tight ends blocking. Mount Juliet's defensive front, probably the best, one of the best that we will play for sure, and the best that we've played so far. Very aggressive, a lot of different looks, a lot of different blitzes. So, you know, we knew we had to handle some of that. Generally, I thought we did okay doing that. I thought it was more about just the execution on the perimeter for the most part, but they have a very good front. They have a good scheme, very well coached. So, again, did some good things, had some bright spots. Just the consistency wasn't there last night.
And, you know, you mentioned Thomas Johnson fighting an injury, and obviously he being such a key player for the Cavaliers. But, you know, knowing that you have an Evan Banks, a Blake Barrett on the sidelines ready to step in, as well as having Blake out there at quarterback and at running back, how is that mentality within your team of next man up, and knowing that they've got to pull some weight that they typically don't have to pull because their teammate can't because of injury? Sort of the culture of your team, how is that easy to overcome when one of your key players goes down?
Yeah, Thomas has certainly been a big part of what we've done the last couple of years. And like I said, last night I think he had two plays maybe of offense and just wasn't feeling like he could be effective and didn't play any defense. So not only is he our top running back, but he's our starting free safety. And we missed him, but like you said, at our depth, the guys that we've trusted to roll in there has been a big part of our success, not just at that position, but, you know, the fact that we are deep at every position has been a strength of ours. So that's always been our mentality, next man up. You know, whoever's in the game has got to be able to provide winning football for us. So I'm proud of Blake, Blake Barrett. Hunt Reese got in there. Evan Banks, obviously, playing both ways. And that's just one position where you feel like, you know, we've got multiple guys that can play winning football for us.
Got Warren County coming up. Warren County struggling this year. We'll just kind of put it that way. Probably an opportunity for you to kind of get things back on track coming off of your first loss. How are you going to approach this game going against the Pioneers?
Yeah, well, first of all, a region game, and I haven't watched much of them, obviously, so far. I'll do that this weekend, but a region game on the road. So that's enough right there to get us motivated and get us focused on our preparation this week. I think a lot of it is just going to be about us, you know, getting back to, you know, the fundamental things, the things that, you know, I mentioned maybe not doing consistently last night. It's going to be about that, you know, finding that rhythm again. And I fully expect our guys to bounce back. We've got a lift here in about an hour, and we'll kind of flush last night and get back to, again, a road region game. So that's all the motivation that I need and our staff will need to put a good plan together.
Head coach of the Cookeville Cavaliers, Taylor Hennigan. Coach, thanks so much for joining us here on the High School Playbook.
Yes, thank you for having me.
We're here with the head coach of the York Dragons, head coach Durbin Wright. York coming off of a big win against Teleco Plains, 34-0 at their place at Teleco Plains. Coach, welcome into the High School Playbook and congratulations on the win.
Thank you. It was a great, great win. Hats off to our players and our coaches. Did a great job.
So I know the last time that we talked, you said you didn't know a whole lot about Teleco Plains. You didn't have a whole lot of film on them quite yet and still needed to get into that. After you saw some of that film and was game planning for it, what did you see and how did you prepare to go into that type of environment?
Well, we saw they were doing offensively a lot of things they did last year, but, you know, number nine, he's a really good running back, and they were feeding him ball, and he was, you know, averaging about 200 yards a game. And So our focus was we're going to stop the run. We're going to stop the run, and our kids really did a great job on that, and you know, helped them to, you know, real low output on yards, and just told her two linebackers, they, you know, they, we tried to slide her front a little bit, said this is going to free you up. And, you know, Mark Winningham, he's our D coordinator, and I think the game plan went off well.
So, started out the season 0-2. You've rattled off wins in the last 2 weeks to get back to 500. How is the team kind of looking at this season, and where's the morale and the spirit of this team currently now coming off of your second win?
Well, obviously, we knew going into season, I mean, Clay County's playing some really good football. Grace Christian's playing good football. We knew both those teams were good teams, and you know, in those games, the turnovers, the mental mistakes just killed us. You just can't turn the ball over, especially on the road. And so, you know, we had that open week, and it worked out great for us. And we went back, like I said, to fundamentals, and we got talking about taking care of the football and doing things right. And, you know, I said, you know, team that blocks and tackles the best usually wins the ball game, and we wouldn't do either one of those well. And, you know, we've got that turned around. Our kids are seeing that's the formula and that's what works. And, you know, they're getting momentum and they're feeling better about it, you know. So I hope we just keep, you know, fighting to get better.
And talking about momentum, Logan Pinnell had 3 touchdowns last night and a very strong defensive performance. How are you seeing him as a leader on your team?
He is. He's a guy, you know, he's senior that I remember talking to his peewee football coach, and he said, you know, we were out there one day, and one of the coaches said, there's no pads popping. He said, well, wait till tomorrow when Logan's here. You know, Logan's not a big guy, but he's one of those guys that he's just a good football player, gets after it every play, and he's running hard. And, you know, I want to mention the whole group, our offensive line last night, you know, they really came to play, and we were able to go right at them, and they did a great job up front.
And I'm glad you said that, Coach, because I think York as a whole just has a reputation of the style of football that you all play. It's a very gritty, very physical style of football. You line up at the line of scrimmage, and most of the time the defense knows what's coming. But y'all say just try to stop us anyway, and you just go after it. How do you kind of instill that type of culture inside of your program and get the buy-in from the freshmen and see the transformations as they turn into seniors?
Well, you know, it's just I mean, the whole time I've coached, I've always thought, you know, there's a lot of things can happen bad when you're throwing the ball. There's not very many that can happen when you run the ball. And we've had that mentality, but our kids, they see it working. You know, a lot of these kids, I coach their dads, and, you know, they look, of course, they tell stories about how mean I was then, but they exaggerate, but you know, we've had success with it. We were running the double wing, and a lot of people said wing T. We ran a lot of wing T blocking plays off of it, but it was a double wing offense, huge splits. And we started running the single wing about 3 years ago, added that into it. And, you know, it's a run style offense, but the thing about it is, if you execute it right, when you do throw the ball, you're going to have success. And we had that success last night. We didn't early on. I thought quarterback was making some bad decisions. I fussed at him pretty hard, but he's very coachable. And as the game went on, he started seeing everything I was seeing, and connected with Joseph Linder on a couple of key long passes. So, you know, but you know, I like to run the ball.
Well, Coach, I've always heard that you're just a big teddy bear, so I don't know what anybody's talking about as far as that goes.
I agree with you. I'm not. Every coach out there knows what I'm talking about. You know, you can fuss at one of them, and man, when they tell it 10 years ago, you know, 10 years later, it builds all this. So, but you know, our kids are really, we've got some great kids. I tell you, you know, we had our head down a little bit those first couple games, but we got some great kids, and they're not hard to coach. It's just a matter of I saw something the other day. I was looking at it and said, don't run a play till you get it right. Run it till you can't get it wrong. And we started preaching that about 2 weeks ago. And, you know, we started in practice putting the defense up there and just shifting the whole defense right before the play just to see if our kids could process it. And, you know, Teleco brought a lot of linebackers last night, and we picked it up well. I was proud of our guys.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the win, getting a good win against a good Teleco Plains team, 34-0 last night at Teleco Plains. Head Coach Derwin Wright, thanks so much, Coach, and looking forward to seeing what you're going to do against Livingston Academy next week.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Next Friday, it's York Institute hosting Livingston Academy. Pregame starts at 6 p.m. on 101.9 AM 920 WLIV. Looking ahead to week 6 games across the Upper Cumberland, Upperman hosts Cumberland County, Jackson County hosts Trousdale County, Stone Memorial goes to DeKalb County, Monterey visits Gordonsville, Pickett County goes against Red Boiling Springs, Macon County visits White County, Smith County hosts East Robertson, and Clay County visits Monroe County, Kentucky. And the Cookeville Cavaliers travel to McMinnville to face the Warren County Pioneers in a regional game. That is your Ben Hoppin' Bargain Shoppin' Game of the Week. Pregame starts at 6:30 p.m. on Sports Radio 104.7. And your Livingston Academy Wildcats visit the York Dragons in Jamestown. That is your Livingston Regional Game of the Week on 101.9 AM 920 WLIV. Pregame starts at 6 p.m. For the High School Playbook, I'm Amos Rogan.